Welcome to Money 911, where we dive into the minds of extraordinary individuals who have revolutionized their fields and changed the game. Today, we have the honor of hosting John Kennedy, a master executive brain coach and international best-selling author who's dedicated his life to unlocking the secrets of neuroplasticity. Through his groundbreaking Kennedy Method, John has transformed the lives of thousands, from combat veterans to business leaders, by enhancing mental processing, focus, and cognitive anticipation. Join us as we uncover the wisdom behind his journey and learn how to train our brains for success. All right, John, it's fabulous to have you here, and we have so much to talk about, and I'm going to kind of contain all the questions, so we'll just, right, it's just our beginning.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here, Chris. You know, we've gotten to know each other pretty well over the years with G-Suite, and always impressed by the things you're doing, so
thank you. Thank you. You know, I wanted to ask you what your experience was as an agile process re-engineering consultant. And how did that shape your approach to developing the combat brain training, right?
Yes, program? Exactly. Well, that's an excellent question. Two different worlds, right?
So, yeah.
So basically for many years, for 20 years, that's what I did. I helped companies become more efficient. And along the way, I just learned some ways that other people weren't doing it. And I really enjoyed it. A lot of my work as a project rescue specialist. So big companies would have really big high exposure projects that went out of control, and they brought me in to try to fix them. And I think that goes back to growing up in the woods in upper state New York, trying to deliberately get lost so I could find my way back. I just like to solve, we call it unsolvable problems. So probably the biggest one that I helped rescue was the entire Y2K transition, if you remember Y2K.
Yeah.
For a division of Motorola that was way behind, and I was able to get things back on track, 20 countries, thousands of people. And along the way, what I liked about it was having all these people that I hadn't met before, these new teams, pulling them together around a common purpose, because that's really the key to success, right? Pulling a diverse group of people around a common goal. And then I would use my project and process approach to make sure that we always focus on what was most important and everything else. And so that actually, I was perfectly happy doing that. And then my brother David returned from Iraq in 2006. And kind of a plea, if you remember back then, it was during what we called the surge. Most of the dangers to our troops were from IEDs, improvised explosive devices. And very insidious, because you could have a bomb in a corner under some garbage somewhere and a trigger man a mile away, and nobody really could anticipate them. So he said, can you do anything to help? And I thought, well, maybe I will learn about process. Maybe I can help the Army or the Marines with process. And I was able to get closer to the Marines. And I was at an event at 29 Palms, California, they had every year. And the whole purpose of the event was to bring contractors from around the world together and expose us to as much about IEDs as possible. And hopefully someone could come up with an innovative solution. And they did, right? So better armor, better radio jammers. One young contractor came up with a new kind of fuel tank that wouldn't explode. So lots of great ideas. But what really occurred to me as I was being led around by these Marine, our guides actually had all survived IED attacks. And their consistent story was the same. I started down this one street at this one alley. Somebody told me something was wrong. I went a different way. And I survived, but the guys behind me got blown up. So why do we have two Marines with very similar demographics training, but one had better what we would call intuition? So here I have all this background group work in process rescue and improvement. And there's no way I could teach the Marines anything about process. I mean, all of our military, they are so process focused, which is a good thing. But I was shaking hands with the base commander, General Doug Stone, on the last day. And I just had this kind of this God vision. What if you could do for the brain what you do for operations and use neuroplasticity, which is the incredible capability God's given our brains to change from repetition as the medium, maybe you could improve intuition. No idea if it would work. General Stone helped me get my first contract. And in our first experiment, the results blew us away. In barely just 3 months, we were able to transform the worst platoon in the battalion. So these guys had lost 16 guys a cycle before. They're failing a lot of their pre-deployment objectives. 16 they'd lost, 3 attempted suicides. So they're really struggling. And then 3 months later, they went from the worst to the best platoon of 40 guys out of 1,000 out of the battalion. And then when they went through final pre-deployment training at 29 Palms, the instructor said, one of the best ever. So what I realized, and this is what really made me feel so good about what we were trying to do here, is one is possible. No one had ever done this before. Apply a process-centric approach to the brain using targeted neuroplasticity training. In other words, we're targeting the specific processes critical to executive function. We add robust stimulation, which no one else does, which also incorporates the connections to eyes, ears, mouth, hands, and feet, all parts of the brain and body. Then an agile approach for continuous improvement. What I realized from there was that not only did we help the Marines perform better in combat, but also accelerated recovery of those Marines who were struggling psychologically, mentally, and emotionally, and physically. And so that's pretty much where I got to. So long story, but that's how we went from helping businesses make more money to helping save lives.
That's amazing. That is so beautiful. Boy, I bet you have a lot of neat stories there. But we'll come back to that. So the combat brain training, I mean, you use with Navy SEALs and all these great groups here, that's been hailed for its effectiveness in reducing casualties and enhancing resilience among military personnel. Maybe share a defining moment of a success story that illustrates the impact of this program.
Yeah.
A little story.
That's a great question. So you're right. So it spread from Marines to Navy SEALs, snipers, and pilots. And actually, by the way, so it was called combat brain training because it was initially for combat, but now we help so many people. We've actually renamed it, rebranding as the Kennedy Method. Because that, and then we'll talk more about that and some other parts of how it impacts people. But a great story. So the Marines, because it was so effective, they often had me part of their leadership development programs. So I don't necessarily teach leadership development, but I help leaders become better leaders because they can make better decisions, less stress, and better teamwork and better emotional intelligence and all those things. So I was speaking at an event, it's got to be close to 15 years ago in San Francisco for the Marines. And I just heard from one of the Marines there, John Carlson, I got a message from him about a month ago saying that after all this time, he still uses my exercises. It's had a tremendous impact on his life. He says, whenever things start to get overwhelming, he runs through them and he gets clarity and he can move forward. So that meant a lot to me that this Marine was still using the same program and still getting benefits out of it. Now he's left the Marines. He's a successful business person. He's got a family. But the program, the method actually is what's helped him through all those years.
That's great. And so then that's like the transitioning from the military applications to helping individuals outside the military.
Yes.
And, you know, and then you motivated you to rebrand it to the Kennedy Method. And I've had the honor to work with you for someone very close to me and a very challenging time. And what little time we did have, I also saw the results because I've had a number of brain injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
It helped me. My problem is making myself do it. Right? You know,
that's the key.
Right? It's like working out.
And you know, along those lines, one of the things we're trying to do when we rebrand ourselves is it's not just brain training anymore, right? What we're really trying to do is help people transform their lives, right? Because what people really want is more time.
Right.
They want time to do the things they love with the people they love. And so when we can help people become more efficient, not just mentally, but through their personal habits, you know, we have a Hack Your Habits in 30 minutes. I'll talk about that. Helping their processes just realign themselves to become more efficient, not using digital fancy stuff, but as you know, the exercises are very simple and they're analog, right? They're the most basic things you can think of. A six-year-old will do the same exercise as a Navy SEAL and they'll both improve. So we're really trying to get out there into the wellness space and just help people, give people hope. You know, today people are so overwhelmed. They've got so many stresses. They're pulled in so many different directions. We can help them get back control of their time so they have a choice of what they want to spend it on.
That's fabulous. That's so cool. And the neuroplasticity, right? It's so fascinating. And I listen to all these brain things, and I'm a big believer in a lot of this because it helped me I had a pituitary tumor. I had a benign pituitary tumor that I did a lot of research and exercise. I opted out of drugs and surgery. I just said, God, what do I do? I prayed, and it was like prayer, fasting, cleanses. But thank God, my blood work showed gone. And it was a lot of modalities. I didn't know you at that time, but this is such an exciting thing for me. And it's so fascinating. And the potential is amazing. So you are ahead of the curve on all of this.
I like to think so. I remember one time, a lot of tons of research support we do. And I remember I was giving a neuroscientist, taking her through my exercises. And she said, you know, this never could have come from traditional research because that's so reductionist nature. In fact, it's kind of a joke out there is that the time it takes from research to get to something actually usable can take 17 years. And obviously you can go faster than that.
Wow.
I was a consultant, right? I wanted things to happen fast.
Right.
Which is exactly what we did. So mine is a much more holistic approach. But then she finished by saying, this is such a holistic approach. It only could have come from God. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that as a blessing, stroke of approval, right?
Yeah.
But it all really goes back. You mentioned neuroplasticity. And I always like to tell people that it's important they understand what that is, right? So it's nothing, you know, we can improve the brain's ability to change faster and slower, but it's just a capability we have. You know, everything you repeat. So when people get frustrated because they can't break habits or they see their kids, they have to understand it's because they're repeating something.
Right.
And if they want to break out of that, they have to repeat something else or change that.
And that's so translated into emotions and habits.
Yeah.
It's just so perfect.
Right.
And so needed. In your experience with working with diverse groups, I mean, totally from athletes to business leaders to people with brain traumas, strokes, military, what common principles or techniques have you found to be universally effective in enhancing cognitive performance?
That's a good question. I think, obviously, you know, we feed our brains. So there's a couple of very basic things probably most of people know about. Diet is very important. I don't tell people what to eat, but obviously your brain needs to eat. Exercise is very important, right? Because you're improving. You improve the overall circulation of blood through your body. It also gets to your brain. It's very important. Exercises, and that's what we come into. So I don't endorse any neurotropics or anything like that. They may work. I don't know. I just know that kind of my mission in life is to help people rewire their brains to do what it needs to do. And that's what we found so effective. So our brains are amazing. Well, we know that, but a couple things about it. Even though I work with people with very severe concussions, strokes, a young man who was able with cerebral palsy who was able to use his hands for the first time, we don't try to fix anything. We just train the brain to do what it needs to do to be successful. And the brain will take over, and it will rewire around physical damage, even Alzheimer's. The other cool thing is that the brain will always change the fastest where it's struggling the most. So I tried to estimate once around 9,000 people in the last 15, 16 years since the Marine gave me my first contract. Everyone starts with a different set of cognitive skills, right? We basically learn when we're very young. So this is something for parents. Our brains explode with connections up until the age of 6 or 7. From then on, that's pretty much the basis for as we go forward, right? So we can rearrange those, we can make them stronger, but that age is so important. And those connections are made stronger through modeling from adults and interaction with our environment. Those are the two most powerful things that create these connections. So parents, the thing that makes me sad is, you know, back in the day, you go to the playground, kids are on the swings or down the slide. Hey, Ma, Dad, look at me, look at me, look at me. And Mom and Dad are watching their kids, right? Now, the kids are on a phone on the swing. And worse, the parents are on a phone doing Facebook or whatever, TikTok, whatever. They're actually creating a barrier between themselves and their children, right? They're not modeling what they want their children to do. They found actually that that digital device that, you know, we take for granted in kids is not very good for the brain. There have been a lot of articles about this.
Yeah.
But many years ago in South Korea, they actually created a name for that. They call it digital dementia. Very connected. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, man.
Very well-connected country. So kids would start on a phone, digital device from the day they're born. They found that because they weren't building those strong connections, interacting with their environment, being outside, playing sports, all those things. That by their early 20s, they had already started to develop dementia because those connections were weaker.
Wow.
Now, the other cool thing about that is about our program, too, and especially I think for older people who are concerned about losing their memory, one of our neuroscientists at Harvard said that he felt that our program was the best anti-aging program because when you do it, you're increasing blood flow to the brain. Some people can even feel it. Now, one of the reasons we lose our memory when we're older is because the capillaries that feed our neurons dry up because there's not enough blood. Older people, because they don't want to have to go to the bathroom so often, don't drink enough fluids, right? You need to drink a lot of fluids. But when you do these exercises, because it floods the brain with so much blood going to the areas we're working, it rejuvenates those capillaries. And can even create neurogenesis. So it's a very powerful program for people that are start to age and worry about losing their memory.
Boy, that's inspiring. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's all for it. So going back to what I was saying, people need to understand everything they do is going to have an impact on their brain. And by being in control of what you do with your body, your brain, and everything, that's going to help your brain process better.
That's great. You know, there's so much that we can get to talk about. And so, but something I know you're excited about, you've got a new book, and maybe you could just tell a little bit about that and how they
Sure. And our online platform, we're really excited about as well. So the field that I created in order to make the brain change so fast, I called it applied neuroplasticity. And I developed that originally for the military. And it has the three components I mentioned earlier. One, we need a framework of the cognitive skills we want to improve, and then we use targeted neuroplasticity training to target those specific processes. That goes back to my process work when I was consulting. Now, what makes our program unique is robust stimulation. Robust stimulation is when you engage all parts of your brain and body that are engaged in the decisions you make. That makes the brain change, not in a day or in a week, but immediately, according to research from MIT. And then the agile approach to keep making it better, right? If it works here, you keep making it better. We learn better. So actually, I was able to take that same approach and apply it to habits. So typically, habits can take 6 weeks or more to change. And there's a lot of great books out there on habits. I mean, I recommend people read them if you want to learn about habits. I wanted something so effective that in the time it takes you to read a chapter in one of those books, you can actually change a habit. And so I take that applied neuroplasticity approach to habits. We define what it is we want to do. We engage robust stimulation to make the brain change in all those areas very, very quickly through repetition. And with an agile approach, we can then apply to another habit. So it's funny. I have a client. She said, "That's not going to happen. I don't believe it. I don't believe it." So I told her exactly what to do because she wanted to get up on time in the morning and go work out. Now, most people, they don't create a get up habit. They create a turn off the hit the snooze button habit, right? Because they're repeating it. So we redefined that. We had her go through this process. And then the next day she called me. "I can't believe it. I practiced this 6 times. And now every morning I'm up on time and I'm working out." And then we have another, I call it habit hijacking. It's also in this book. And this is going to be the shortest book you've ever seen, right? It's so simple. I know people want to hurry, right? We want to be up time. This is a very short book. Habit hijacking is inserting a habit that will hijack the bad habit you don't like. Mm. It's different than habit stacking. You're not adding a habit to something you're already doing. This is actually changing the whole trajectory of your habit very, very quickly. So that's the personal side we can help people. And then I'm really excited about our platform we've been working on. So right now I work in person. I can certify other people to do what I do. And I'm actually certifying someone right now to do that. But through one of my demonstrations where I met a brilliant developer, AI developer, Daniel McDonald and Steve Coyle, those are the other two partners in this. And we're actually building out a platform so anybody in the world will be able to go through this program online on their computer and be able to get the same benefits. We already have pretty amazing. We have a developer who's helping us out. She was kind of not sure if it would work or not. And after just like working on, you know, doing some of our lessons, you know, after like maybe 40 minutes, she said, I used to be the clumsiest person in the world. I don't bump into anything anymore. And her husband said the same thing. Another woman with ADHD. We have a lot of success with ADHD. So we know it works. Now we're just trying to get it out there to help more people.
That's great. Tell everybody again where to go to get
this. Yes, probably the best place to go is they can always email me. So john@combatbraintraining.com. But our website is thekennedymethod.co. It's important that they don't use the com because we don't com. It's www.thekennedymethod.co. There'll be a lot of information there and some ways they can reach out to us. They can ask for more information. And the book is called Hack Your Habits in 30 Minutes or Less. And that should be out very shortly. And right now there's a placeholder, but we'll also have a website for that. It's just going to be called www.hackyourhabitsin30.com.
Fabulous. Now, really briefly, looking ahead, what are some of your aspirations when you think of the future, the Kennedy Method?
I appreciate that. So, you know, one of the areas that I've really like to help is kids.
Cool.
I did a number of programs for some ministries in Chicago, inner city ministries. We help them with their emotional regulation, their grades and sports. And so kind of my vision for the platform is to be able to get out to any school. Right. So you know, kids that come to school, right? Maybe the teacher would have them run some exercises together in the class, which is kind of engaging and fun. But then at night when they go home and do their homework, they can just log onto the platform. They can run through some of the exercises. It'll help them get through their homework faster and they'll learn better. And they'll actually, again, remember, we're trying to free up people's time to do important things. So less time on homework, not because they're not doing it, but because they're doing it better and faster, frees them up time to do other things with their families. And of course, back with the military, we're actually doing a pilot right now with the Army. We're working with a hospital around the areas of post-traumatic stress, PTSD, and starting to get some good feedback. So the goal then is to be able to roll this out to anyone in any armed forces as well.
Nice.
The benefit for them, of course, is not only will it help them recover faster, but also help them prepare mentally for going into combat.
Wow. You've got a lot going on there, Mr. Kennedy. And I'm excited for you and want to support you. And we'll for sure have you come back when you get this app and your book, everything all out there again. And I'm really glad we pulled it off. I know there's a lot going on and it's great to have you here. Any last final notes you want to leave our listeners with here?
No, just basically what I said before. People need to just that awareness that if they don't like the way something is going, it's because they've been repeating it enough and they need to be able to change it. Now, we can help them with that or they could even try to do it on their own. But that key is to understand that everything you repeat is going to be harder to change. That's
right.
Can be good. That can be bad. Same thing with your kids. Obviously with your kids.
Right. Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much, John.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you too. God bless. Bye-bye. That concludes our insightful conversation with John Kennedy, a true pioneer in the realm of neuroplasticity and brain training. Through his dedication and innovative approach, he has transformed the lives of countless individuals, offering hope and empowerment to those seeking to unlock their brain's full potential. Join us next time on Money 911 as we continue to explore the stories and strategies behind success.
Remember, the key to wealth, not only in money, but also the richness of our minds and hearts. There's so much to learn about healthy money. I hope today's discussion brings you one step closer to securing and protecting your future. So you can get started on the right foot, go to meetwithchrismiller.com and schedule your free financial fitness strategy session. Thank you for listening, and please subscribe to Money 911 so you don't miss our next episode, which includes health, wealth, and peace of mind.
Lives inside of us.